Today we go to the section number 27, page 322. The synthesis of conditions. The manual states that all 24 conditions can be included in four conditions: object, decisive support, karma, and prenascence. Presence. Well, aramana, upanisaya, karma, and atti. In order to understand this, we have to understand the varieties of 24 conditions. And here, the ancient commentary, the Vibhavini Tika, explains differently from what Burmese teachers think. So that Tika explains that every condition can be called aramana or upanisaya or kamma or atti. So in that case, every condition is aramana and so on. But many teachers don't like that explanation. So there is another explanation given in this book. And there he says, explained by Lady Sayado. Actually, it is explained by all Burmese Sayados, not Lady Sayado only. And according to that, a chart is given in the book. But I didn't make the copy of the one I made using Pali. So according to that explanation, we include some objects, some conditions in object conditions, some in decisive support condition, some in karma condition, and some in present condition. For example, aramana adipati. Aramana adipati can be included in aramana object, and it can be included in decisive support, and it can be included in atti, presence. And sahajata adipati, that means arising together and being predominant. Sahajata adipati can be included in just atti or presence, and so on. So if you don't understand the different varieties of different conditions, it may be a little confusing. Now, sahajata nisaya, support condition, is sahajata nisaya, vattu purijata nisaya, vattaramana purijata nisaya, and so on. So they are also included in present condition, and also the last one, in aramana condition. It is not so important, so if you don't understand, it's okay. But what is helpful is to understand the groups of conditions, like sahajata group, aramana group, purijata group, and so on. Because when we consider how many conditions will be operating in a given situation, if we know the groups, then we can easily pick them out. Now, and then next, The manual says, in all cases, well, there is cognizant phenomena, explanation of the cognizant material phenomena. The manual used the word Pali, in Pali, sahajada rupa, cognizant material phenomena, many times when the author explained the Patthana method. But he didn't define that word in the beginning. He gave the definition only at the end. So here he gave the definition of what he meant by cognizant material phenomena. Cognizant material phenomena is of two kinds. Throughout the course of existence, during life, bhavati, they should be understood as those born of consciousness, born of citta. So, during life, cognizant material phenomena means rupa born of citta. And at the moment of patisandhi, rebirth linking, cognizant material phenomena means rupa born of karma. So, during lifetime, cognizant material phenomena means rupa born of citta. But at the moment of patisandhi, it means rupa born of karma. Okay, now we come to the summary, page 324. Section 28. Thus, the things pertaining to the three periods of time and timeless, internal and external, conditioned and unconditioned, are threefold by way of concept, mind, and matter. Now, you have studied 24 conditions, and also you studied what dhammas are represented by each condition. For example, six hetus are represented by hetu condition, and all chetas, chetisikas, rupa, nibbana, and panyati are represented by object condition, and so on. So when we look at all these dhammas represented by 24 conditions, we know that these belong to three periods of time. That means not each and every one, but as a whole, they belong to present, past, and future. For example, the object condition, right? All cheta, chetisika, rupa, which belong to present, past, and future. So the dhammas represented by the 24 conditions belong to, some belong to present, some belong to past, some belong to future, or some may belong to present, past, future. And also, sometimes they are internal, and sometimes they are external. Chetas and chetisikas are internal, and rupa are both internal and external. We can have rupa in our bodies, and also we can have rupa outside. And then, concepts, mostly external. And nibbana, definitely external. So they may be either internal or external, and then they may be conditioned or unconditioned. Chetas, chetisikas, and rupas are conditioned, and nibbana is unconditioned. And they are threefold by way of concepts, mind, and metta. So if we classify all the dhammas represented by the 24 conditions into three, we get concepts, mind, and matter. Some are concepts, some mind, some matter. We'll come to that later. So, concepts, mind, and matter. You know what matter is, right? Material phenomena or material 28 material properties, they are called rupa. And then consciousness and mental factors, which comprise the four immaterial aggregates, and Nibbana are the five kinds that are immaterial. So when we divide the ultimate reality into nama and rupa, 28 material properties go under rupa. Chaita, Chaitasika, and Nibbana go under nama. So that is why here it is said threefold by way of concepts, mind, and matter. It doesn't say Nibbana. But that is because Nibbana is included in mind. So we should, actually we should say not mind. We just say nama. Because the word nama has two meanings, and also it represents different things in different places. So first, the word, let's go to the word nama. Nama is defined as something which bends towards the object or which inclines towards the object. So the ultimate realities which incline towards the object are citta and cetasikas. So cetas and cetasikas are called nama according to that definition. Now there is another definition, and that is something that causes some other thing to bend towards itself, to incline toward itself. That means when we take the cetas and cetasikas as object, then the cetas and cetasikas, which are objects, are said to make our minds, our cetas and cetasikas, bend towards it. So in according to their definition, Nibbana is also called nama, because Nibbana also causes cetas and cetasikas to be bent towards it. Rupa also has that kind of characteristic, right? Because our mind also bent towards rupa. But rupa is not taken here. Because here, the being a objective predominance condition, and also to have the real power, the real force to make the mind and cetas and cetasikas to bend towards it. So rupas are excluded here. Only Nibbana and cetas and cetasikas are taken here as nama. So in the explanation on page 325, say they are also called name. The four immaterial aggregates are called nama, in the sense of bending, because they bend towards the object in the act of cognizing it. They are also called nama in the sense of causing to bend, since they cause one another. Now, it is better to say, since they cause others to bend onto the object, not one another. Nibbana is called nama solely in the sense of causing to bend, for Nibbana causes faultless states, that is, the supramundane cetas and cetasikas, to bend onto itself by acting as an objective predominant condition. Nibbana is a very strong objective predominant condition, or aramana adipati. So, by the word nama, we mean cetas, cetasikas, and Nibbana. But when we mean cetā and cetasikā, both definitions can be applied to them. Chaitas and Chaitasikas bend towards the object, and also they make other Chaitas and Chaitasikas bend towards them. So, Chaitas and Chaitasikas are called Nama for both definitions. But Nibbana is called Nama for only one definition, the second definition, that is, something that causes, say, Chaitas and Chaitasikas to bend towards it. Nibbana does not bend to other objects, because Nibbana does not take an object, it is object. So, when we call Nibbana Nama, we are using the second definition, that which causes others, that means that which causes Chaitas and Chaitasikas to bend towards itself. Now, Nibbana causes faultless states to bend onto itself. What are the faultless states? Here in this book, only Supramanin, Chaitas and Chaitasikas are mentioned. But Nibbana can be taken by Kamavachara Chaitas also, right? Immediately after enlightenment, there are what are called reflecting thought processes. In those reflecting thought processes, Kamavachara Kusala, or for an arahant, Kamavajra Kriya, accompanied by knowledge. So they arise as jivanas. So faultless states means not only Supramanin, Chaitas and Chaitasikas, but also those Kamavajra Kusala and Kriya. That's why the word faultless is used in the commentary. That means those other than akusala. Akusala is described as with fault, and the others are described as faultless. So now we know that the word nama can mean nibbana also. But in most of our talks, or most of our readings, we find nama used in the sense of Chaitas and Chaitasikas only. In Abhidhamma, especially in the Yamaka, the sixth book, we find Nibbana used as nama. So all the 24 conditions consist of concepts, nama, and rupa. So, one more thing to learn, and that is concepts. Now, before going to the concepts, I want to go back to the Paticchasamubbada. Paticchasamubbada, by way of 24 Patthana conditions, we will not go through all, because it may be too complicated, but we'll go what's easy to understand. So, as I said many times that only when you understand Paticchasamubbada with reference to Patthana do you understand Paticchasamubbada fully. Otherwise, you do not know how these factors, ignorance and so on, how these factors are related. If you do not know how these factors are related, your understanding of causality is not complete. So, it is good to understand Paticchasamubbada with reference to Patthana. But there are very, very few books those explain Paticchasamubbada with reference to Patthana. The only book I have met is that written by the Venerable Jnana Tiloka. And also there's an article at the end of the book, Guide Through Abhidhamma Pitaka. You may read that book. This is a guide through the Abhidhamma Pitaka. And at the end of this book, there is an article on Paticchasamubbada. And the Venerable Jnana Tiloka explained, according to Visuddhimagga, and so there are explanations about 24, relationships or the conditions that can be understood between, say, first factor and second factor and third factor, and so on. That's a good article, and maybe easier to understand than Visuddhimagga itself, because Visuddhimagga is very detailed and very wide. So this may be a good article to read. Okay, let us see avijja paccaya sankhara, the first one. Link between avijja and sankhara. Now you all know avijja means moha. And sankhara means what? Chetana, right? Kusala chetana and akusala chetana. Kusala chetana are divided into kama vajra and rupa vajra on one hand and arupa vajra on the other. So there are three kinds of sankharas or formations. The first one, formations of merit. That means in Pali it is called punya bisankhara. The second, formations of demerit, apunya bisankhara. And the third, formation of the imperturbable, aninja bisankhara. Formation of merit means chetana concomitant with kamavajra kusala, 8 kamavajra kusala chetas, and 5 rupavajra kusala chetas. Formations of demerit means chetana concomitant with 12 akusala chetas. And formations of imperturbable means chetana concomitant with 4 arupavajra kusala chetas. Okay. Now we will try to understand how ignorance is related to first formations of merit, and then formations of demerit, and then formations of imperturbable. Okay, now ignorance to formations of merit. So formations of merit mean kusala chetana, chetana concomitant with kusala chetas. So ignorance is akusala. So akusala and kusala cannot arise together. So there is no sahajata and so on. Now how can ignorance be a conditioning factor for formations of merit or kusala chetana? Now the commentary explains that when yogis take moha as an object and practices vipassana meditation on moha, moha as being subject to decay and destruction. So in that case, ignorance or moha is an aramana condition for vipassana, formations of merit, which is vipassana. When you practice vipassana, the vipassana consciousness are all kama vajra kusala. So ignorance is related to kamavajra kusala during vipassana by way of object, aramana. That means your vipassana consciousness takes moha as object and try to see its impermanence and so on. And those who get supernormal knowledge, abhinya, can see other person's mind concomitant with moha, because there is a supernormal knowledge called understanding other, reading other people's mind, right? So by that supernormal knowledge, those who get the abhinya or supernormal knowledge can take the mind, can take the mind of other persons, the mind that is accompanied by moha. So in that case, ignorance is related to that rupa vajra cheta, by way of aramana, object and condition. Now, you want to get rid of moha. You want to get rid of all mental defilements. So see here, let's say moha. So in order to get rid of moha, you do kusala kama. You do charity, giving. You keep sila. You practice bhavana. So when you practice dana and so on, in order to transcend, or in order to get rid of ignorance, then ignorance is a condition for your kama vajra kusala. That is by way of decisive support, because you want to get rid of moha. So moha is a decisive condition for your kusala. Not following immediately, but say there is time interval between ignorance and the later kusala. Next, in order to get rid of avijja, you practice meditation and you get jhana. So in that case, avijja is a condition for rupa vajra jhana by way of decisive support. And then you are blinded by avijja. You have a lot of avijja, and so you do merit with the intention of being reborn in a good kama vajra existence and good rupa vajra existence, or you make wish to get worldly results. So in that case, avijja is a condition for your kusala by way of decisive support. So ignorance is a condition for formation of merit. That means kama vajra kusala and rupa vajra kusala by way of only two conditions, aramana condition and upanesya, decisive support condition. Okay, now ignorance to formations of demerit. That means chetana accompanying akusala chetas. Ignorance itself is akusala, and ignorance is found with all akusala chetas, right? So here, not only do we get aramana and upanesya, but also what? Hedu sahaja and so on, right? Okay. So first, ignorance to formations of demerit. Now, taking ignorance as an object, you can have lust and so on, attachment and so on. You can be attached to your ignorance. And so in that case, it is a condition of aramana, object. If you take the avijja intensely, then it can be aramana adibhati and aramana upanesaya. And you are blinded by avijja, and so you do not see danger in doing akusala, and so you do akusala, killing living beings, stealing, and so on. So in that case, the first avijja is a decisive support condition for later akusala, right? Because you are still with avijja, or you are blinded with avijja, you are overpowered by avijja, and so you do you don't see danger in akusala, and so you do akusala. So your akusala is supported by avijja by way of decisive support. Then you do panadibada, let's say you do killing, and then there are seven javanas, and with each javana there is moha, right, and other concomitants. So ignorance in first javana is a condition for ignorance, the citta and concomitants in the second javana by way of anantara, samanantara, nati, vigata. What about asivana? Right? Yeah. So, and also, since ignorance is a hedu, it's one of the six hedus, there is hedu. And since they arise together, there is sahajata, anyamanya, nesaya, and so on. So there are a lot of conditions here, ignorance to akusala. So aramana, aramana adibhati, aramana upanesaya, and then what? Anantara samanantara, anantara ubanesaya, asivana, nati, vigata. Whenever there is anantara, you also get nati and vigata. And also hetu, sahajada, anyamanya, and so on. So you see their relationship. Ignorance to formations of merit, ignorance to formations of demerit. Now the last one, formations of imperturbable. That means chetana concomitant with four rupa vajra kusala chetas. Now ignorance is akusala, and the formations of the imperturbable are kusala. So there will be no sahajata and so on. So here, the condition is number 9, decisive support. You want to get rid of avijja, and you practice meditation, and you get arupa vajra jhanas. So, if you do not know Patthana, you just understand vaguely, avijja is a condition for sankhara. But now since you know abhidhamma and you know Patthana, now you can understand in detail. See, avijja is a condition for formations of merit in such modes of condition, and it is a condition for formations of demerit in many modes of condition. It is a condition for the formations of imperturbable by way of upanisaya. So when you understand this, you understand fully the relationship between avijja and sankhara. So you know, sometimes avijja and sankhara do not arise together. Sometimes they arise together. So they do not arise together when sankharas are kusala. They arise together when sankharas are akusala. And when they arise together, sahajata and so on are always there. And since kusala or akusala can arise again and again, I mean seven times, there is repetition. So there can be anantara, proximity and so on, and also asevana. Now second link, between sankhara and vijnana. Here, sankhara means cetana, and vijnana means 32 lokiya vipaka cetas. This is not easy. Because you have to be familiar with the fifth chapter, between karma and its results. So if you don't remember, it's okay. So, cetana in kamavajra kusala, 8 kamavajra kusala cetas. They are conditioned for mahavipaka, 8, kusala vipaka, upekha, sahagata, santirana, 1. So, altogether, 9. So, cetana in kamavajra kusala, 8, is a condition for Mahavipaka 8 and Upekhasandirana in Kama Sugati. Kama Sugati. Do you know Kama Sugati? Kama Sugati means human beings and devas. Right? No. 11 Kama Vajra realms minus 4 abhaya realms, right? So 7. These 7 are called kama sukati. So in the kama sukati existence, and at the moment of first patisandhi, by way of asynchronous kama and pakatuba nisaya. Because here, this link is actually a law of karma. Karma and its results. So, cetana as karma in 8 kama vajra kusala vibhaka give results as 8 maha kama vajra vibhaka as results, and also kusala vibhaka upakasantirana as result. And they are by way of karma. No, and we say asynchronous karma because there are two kinds of karma. The first kind is what? Sahajata karma. Cognizance karma. The other is asynchronous karma. Different time karma. So we have to say asynchronous karma to differentiate it from cognizance karma. Again, Chetana and Kamavasara Kusala 8 is a condition for Ahetuka Kusala Vibhaka 7, except the Ubhaka Santirana. During lifetime, Pavati, in Kama Sugati. Same. So, here conditions are the same, all true. But, the Chetana and its results are different.
But why you want to accept Upi Santirana, Upeka Santirana? I don't know why
the accept Ahiduka Kusala Vibhaga.
It should be a
Upekha Santirana, maybe as taken as Patisanti Cheta.
That's right, but maybe the Pavati, so the people who have that Cheta.
In Pavati also, Ahetuka Kusala Vibhaga. Are there 7 or 8?
I think 8 is correct.
Let me see. It says 7. Yeah. It says, except the Upeka Santirana. 7 Kama Vajra Vipaka Chetas. Maybe it is taken as the it is not at Bajisanti, it is during lifetime. And
7 because we have only 7 Ahetuka Kusala.
No, we have 8 Ahetuka.
Ahetuka Kusala Vibhaga?
We have 8 Ahetuka.
8 Ahetuka Kusala Vibhaga. So
it is correct, Mante. I don't see why we take the Upeka Santirana out.
It excludes the
Upeka Santirana.
And he asked the reason.
Right. Okay. I'll have to refer to the Tigar again. the commentary here gives just 7, except Upeka Sahagata Santirana.
But on here, on the page 2, and you put 16.
Yes, yeah, they are 16, yeah. Right.
But now, yeah, so that means 15, no, 16.
Okay. We'll go forward. Chetana in Kama Vajra Kusala Vibhaga 8, in Rupa Vajra. Kusala Vibhaga Chakhu Vinyana, Soda Vinyana, Sampadichana, and 2 Santiranas, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they are related during lifetime, but we are only 2 conditions. Now, the Rupa Vajra Brahmas can have the Chakhu Vinyana, Soda Vinyana, Sampadichana, and Santirana, right? Yeah. And then, Chetana in Kama Vajra Kusala 8, here, Dukkiti. So, they are conditioned for Ahetuka Kusala Vibhaga 8 here. At Pavati, the same conditions. That means, Even though beings are born in Dukkati, they can have Ahetuka Kusala Vibhaga Chetas. They when they see Buddha or monks or whatever. in the commentary, it is said when the Venerable Moggallana visited heaven, and then Chetana in Kama Vajra Kusala 8. Now in Sukhati, both Pavati and Patisanti. Now, Kusala Vibhaga 16, that means Kama Vajra Kusala Sahiduka Kamajra Kusala Vipaka and Ahiduka Kusala Vipaka. Okay, now Chitana and Rupa Vajra Kusala 5. They are conditioned for Rupa Vajra Vipaka 5 and Rupa Vajra Ram at Patisanti. So two conditions. Then Chitana and Kama Vajra Kusala 8. Two, Ahiduka Kusala Vipaka 5 and Rupa Vajra Ram. At Patisanti. I think it is Pavati, right? At Patisanti there can be Rupa Vajra Vipaka. So Chitana and Kama Vajra Kusala 8 in Rupa Vajra Ram at Pavati are conditioned for Ahiduka Kusala Vipaka 5 in the realms of Brahma. So that means Brahma can look down to human world and they could see undesirable objects, and so they can get Ahiduka Kusala Vibhagas, Akusala Vibhaga Chaku Vinyana, and so on. And then Rupa Vajra Kusala 5. Oh, wait a minute. Chitana and Kama Vajra Kusala 8 and Rupa Vajra Kusala 5. So they are conditioned for Ahiduka Kusala Vipaka 5 and Rupa Vajra Vipaka 5 at Patisanti and Pavati. Right. But here they are mixed together. We can divide them if we want to, but they are mixed together. So Chitana and Kama Vajra Kusala 8 and Rupa Vajra Kusala 5 are conditioned for Ahiduka Kusala Vipaka 5 and Rupa Vajra Vipaka 5, both at Patisanti and Pavati, are conditioned as asynchronous karma and Pakatupa Nesaya. And then formations of demerit, Akusala. Chitana and Akusala 12. Is a condition for Upakas Ahakata Santirana. The conditions are the same. And Chitana and Akusala 12, two other Akusala Vipaka 6, except the Upakas Santirana here again, during Pavati. So by two, asynchronous karma and Pakadupa Nesaya. And then Chitana and Akusala 12 to Akusala Vipaka 7, that is both Patisanti and Pavati. And then Chitana and Akusala 12 in Sukhati, Akusala Vipaka 7, that means human beings when they see undesirable objects and so on, at Pavati, same two conditions. And Chitana and Rupa Vajra, Akusala 12 to Akusala Vipaka, Chakku Vinyana, Sota Vinyana, Sampadichana, Santirana, and Rupa Vajra Ram at Pavati. Same. Formations of the imperturbable. Chitana and Rupa Vajra Kusala 4 is a condition for Rupa Vajra Vipaka 4 and Rupa Vajra Ram, both at Patisanti and Pavati, for two conditions. So we have to understand the fifth chapter in order to understand these details. Now, vinyana pachaya nama rupa. That's also complicated. Here, vinyana means 32 vipaka chetas, and also kama formation consciousness. That means consciousness concomitant with mundane kusala and akusala chetana. And then all other consciousness. And nama here means 52 chetisika, and rupa here means 28 rupa. And here also, vibhaga consciousness is a condition for vibhaga nama. That means vibhaga chetisikas. At Patisanti and Poati by way of 6, 46, sahajada and so on, because they arise together. Then vibhaga consciousness to heart base. At Bodhisandhi, Sahajada, Anyamanya, and so on, right? So at the moment of Bodhisandhi, heart base and vibhaga consciousness can be reciprocal conditions for each other. And vibhaga consciousness to other metta, that is, not heart base. Same except 7, which is reciprocal. Because with other metas, there is no reciprocal conditioning. And karma formation consciousness, that means consciousness accompanied by kusala chetana here, at asanya and 5 aggregate bhava. Mindless beings and 5 aggregate beings. And they are conditioned for kammaja rupa, rupa born of karma, by way of 9 according to suttanda. Now, there are two kinds, suttanda method and abhidhamma method. Abhidhamma method is precise, but suttanda method is wider. So whatever cannot be explained by Abhidhamma method, we explain by Sotanta method. So by Sotanta method, they are conditioned for rupa born of karma. And then other consciousness are conditioned for nama and rupa as appropriate. So the commentary doesn't say which conditions we have to understand by ourselves. Okay. In this way, it goes on, and I don't want to go any further because it may become too complicated. But you can look at this chart and find out whether the conditioning factor and condition factor are real cause and effect, or whether they are object and subject, or whether they arise together and support each other. When people read about or study Paticchasamubbada, they always think that avijja is a cause of sankhara, sankhara is a cause of vijnana, vijnana is a cause of namarupa, and so on. So if it were that way, it would be very, very easy to understand. But the fact is not like that. That is why it is complicated. So we must understand each link by way of Patthana method. So when we understand by way of Patthana method, we know that, oh, this link is not as cause and effect, but they just arise together and they support each other, or one supports the other, or they arise separately and one is the object and the other is the one that takes the object, that as an object, and so on. So in this way, we understand fully the relationship between the previous factor and the following, succeeding factor. Now let's see Passapacchaya Vedana 6. How are they related? At the same time as well as different time, right? When Pakadupa Nesya, it is different. So, Phasa and Vedana arise together, and Phasa support vedana. And sometimes pasa and vedana may arise at different times. And in that case, they are related by way of pakadupa nesaya and so on. So this chart will help you to understand how these factors, the previous factor and succeeding factor, are related. Okay. Now we go to the Panyati. Panyati is, I think you already understand the Panyatis. If you remember the, maybe first lecture or second lecture. Now, the word Panyati is translated as concept. But it has two meanings. One is that which is made known. And two, that which makes known. So the word Panyati has both the passive meaning and active meaning. That which makes known and that which is made known. And depending on the definition, there are different kinds of Panyatis. So in the commentary, different kinds of examples of different kinds of Panyatis are given. So please go to page 326, about the middle of the page. There are such terms as land, mountain, and the like, so designated on account of the mode of transition of the respective elements. That means the respective elements are put together in a certain way. And so and they are called land, mountain, and so on. So that kind of Panyati is what is made known. So the Panyati, what is made known, is called Attha Panyati. Here it is translated as meaning concept, but actually this is not meaning. The Attha does not mean here, the word Attha does not mean meaning. It is like the Dhamma, the entity. Let's say land, right? So the word land is Panyati, that makes known. But the substance represented by the word land, or something we understand to be land by the word land, is called Attha Panyati. Or let's say man. So the word man is Panyati that makes known. And the man, the person, the congregation of five aggregates is that which is made known. So we have to understand Nama Panyati and Attha Panyati with almost every Panyati. So the word or the name man is Nama Panyati, and the person, the man, is Attha Panyati. The house, the name house is, or the word house is Attha Panyati. I mean, Nama Panyati, name concept, and the building which we call the house is Attha Panyati. So here, land, mountain. The name land, the name mountain is Nama Panyati. But what is represented by the word land, what is represented by the word mountain is Attha Panyati. And this Atapanyadi, we can give appropriate names to these Atapanyadis. So this first one is called Santana Panyadi. In the manual, about the bottom of the page, the word given is Santana Panyadi. But actually it should be Santana Panyadi. Santana means continuation or continuity. That means the material properties are arranged in such continuity as to see it as land or as mountain and so on. And such terms as house, chariot, cart, and the like, so named on account of the mode of formation of materials. So that is another panyadi. And this panyadi is called what? Samuha panyadi. Samuha means collection. So here, for example, the house, the different parts are put together, or put as a collection, and so we have the designation house. Chariot also is made up of wheel, what about that, yoke and others. And the cart also the same. So this panyadi is called samuha panyadi. Collective concepts. And in other books, it is said that it can also be called Santana Panyadi, because there is a form or shape of these things, and so according to this shape, according to this form, we call it a house, we call it a chariot, we call it a cart, and so on. And then on page 326 again, such terms as person, individual, and the like, so named on account of the five aggregates. That means a collection of five aggregates is called a man, an individual, a woman, and so on. So this is called satta panyati, being concept, or name of beings. And that concept is missing in the guide to section 30. It jumps from Samuha Panyadi to Disa Panyadi. And then such terms as direction, time, and the like, named according to the revolution of the moon and so forth. Now, when we call as a time in night or day, we call it depending on the sun and the moon going round, or revolution of the moon and the sun. And these are called disa, right? Let me see. Terms such as direction, time, and the like, or disa, right? Disa panyati and kala panyati. Now, disa panyati means concepts of directions, east, west, south, north. And kala panyati means morning, noon, evening, and so on. So, with regard to disa panyati, direction panyati, we depend on the rising and setting of sun and moon. And with regard to kala panyadi, we depend on, again, the course of the sun and the moon. When the sun is at a certain point, we call it morning. At another point, we call it noon. At another point, we call it afternoon, and so on. And then next is such terms as well, cave, and the like, so named on account of the mode of non-impact and so forth. That means non-touching. There is a space in well, and so it is non-touching. And cave, the same, there is a hollow. So, depending on the mode of non-impact there, say we call it a well, we call it a cave, we may call it a hole, and so on. So they are called akasa panyati, space panyati. Such terms as kasina signs and the like, so named on account of respective elements and distinguished mental development, they are called kasina panyati. So you make a kasina, you look at it and again, and then you get that image in your mind. So that image you get in your mind is called kasina panyati. And there are many more. We can add hundreds of them if we can give names. So everything in the world every name we give to the things, and the things that represent those names are all panyati. Now, the first one, land, right? Land composed of ultimate reality, right? But we don't see land as ultimate reality, but we see it as a collection or a combination of particles of earth. So the earth element in what we call earth is ultimate reality. But what we call earth is a panyati. And the word earth is also a panyati. Okay. Now that is Atta panyati. So the things or persons represented by the names. Now we come to the names themselves. So the second one is nama panyati. There are six kinds of nama panyati given in this book, and also in the Tiga on Visuddhimagga. And they are first what? Concept of the real. So, concept of the real. Now, real here means something which has its own individual essence. It has its own arising, presence, and disappearing. So, the name panyati is divided into six. The concept of the real means name of the ultimate reality. Number two, concept of the unreal. That means names of those that are not ultimate realities. And number three is concept of the unreal by means of the real. So there may be two words or two meanings. One represent the ultimate reality, and the other does not represent the ultimate reality. First is, number three. The first is ultimate reality, and the second, not ultimate reality. But sometimes the word order in Pali and in English are not the same. In English, the last come may come first. I'll explain it later. And number four is a concept of the real by means of unreal. So unreal, by means of unreal, there is real. And then a concept of the real by means of real, both real. And number six, concept of unreal by means of unreal, both unreal. Okay. Now we'll take the examples. So the example for concept of the real, number one, is what? Matter, feeling, right? Rupa, Vedana, and so on. So when we say Rupa, now this is called concept of real. In Pali, Vijjamana Panyati. Vijjamana means existing. Existing means here ultimate reality. Vijjamana Panyati. So Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, there you have a lot of names, all 52 Chetasikas and Chetas and so on. Number two, example for number two, concept of unreal, earth, mountain, and so on. So, earth is a nama panyati, right? And what is represented by the word earth is a attha panyati. And that attha panyati is, according to reality, non-existent. There is no earth, but just the eight inseparables sticking to each other. So earth, mountain, there are a lot of things, avijjamana panyati, right? House, car. Then number three, concept of unreal by means of real. So the first is real and the second unreal. And the example given is possessor of sixfold direct knowledge. Now you must know the Pali word. Cha la binya. The person who possesses these six abhinyas are called chala binyo. So here, chala binya, the six supernormal knowledges are ultimate reality. But the person who possesses it is unreal. So that is why it is called unreal by way of real. So possessor of three knowledges, we may say, Tivija, right? So the sixfold direct knowledge is real, but the possessor is unreal. Then number four. Number four is concept of the real by means of unreal. And the example is a woman's voice. In Pali, eti sadda. Now, a woman is non-existent. Just five aggregates. But voice is real because voice is sound, right? Sound is among the 28 material properties. So, when we say a woman's voice, then it is the concept of real by way of unreal. Then number five, both real. What is the example? I consciousness. I is real, consciousness is real. So it is real by real. And then the last one, unreal by unreal. A king's son. Now, a king is unreal, and the son is also unreal. So, according to this classification, there are six kinds of nama panyati, name concepts. And they can be classified as the real concept, unreal concept, real by unreal, unreal by real, real by real, unreal by unreal. So, we can practice this with many names we already know. So this is about the panyati. Now we come to the last verses. section 32. Now you already know the meaning of these verses, because in this fourth chapter, I've explained to you how many thought processes you need to know that you see something, right? So it explains here, not in seeing, but in hearing, because it is concerned with panyati, nama panyati. So first you hear the nama panyati, and then you understand the artha panyati, right? First you hear something, you know, let's say the word man. So the word man you hear is nama panyati. After hearing it, there are thought processes working, and then you know, this is a man, a being with two hands, two feet, and walking upright, and so on. So these verses explain how many thought processes there are until you know that you hear a word. I mean, you hear a word and you understand the meaning. Now, by following the sound of speech, that means you hear a voice. Let's say, man. Through the process of ear consciousness, so when you hear the word man, there is sota dwara viti, right? Or sota vinyana viti. And then by means of the concept conceived by the process in the mind door, that subsequently arises. So mind or thought process arises. Meanings are understood. Now here, one thought process is not mentioned. Directly, there are only ear consciousness and mind or thought process, two mind or thought processes. Understanding, hearing the voice, I mean hearing the voice as man, and understanding the meaning. That means understanding the substance of the person represented by the name man. But one thought process is not mentioned, and that is that follow the first ear consciousness thought process. That means you hear the word man, and then that word disappears, and that thought process also disappears. And then with the following manodvara, mind or thought process, you recall that voice, which is past at that time. So that thought process is not mentioned in this verse, but we must understand that there is this thought process also. So first you hear the word man by the ear consciousness thought process, and then you take the word man as an object with mind or thought process. During these two thought processes, you don't yet hear the word man. You hear some voice. You have not come to the conclusion that it is the word man I hear, but just a voice. When you come to the mind or thought process, the third in the series, you hear the word man. After hearing the word man, you understand the meaning of the word, or you understand the artha panyati. So you first hear the just the voice, and then you hear the nama panyati, and then you understand the meaning of that nama banyati, which is atta banyati. During the first two processes, the object is ultimate reality. The voice or sadda, which is present for the first and which is past for the second. But when it comes to the third thought process, mind or thought process, you take the panyati, nama panyati as object, right? And then the fourth thought process, again, you take the atta panyati as object. So among the four thought processes, the first two take ultimate reality as object, and the second two take the panyati as object. So these verses explain that. But as it is, there are only three, maybe. Not even distinctly three, right? You see only the process of ear consciousness, and then process in the mind door. And the atta panyati, we understand through the fourth thought process, is always fashioned by worldly convention. That means men have agreed upon calling a being man. So when they have designated the word man for the being which we call man, then later on people understand the atta panyati when they hear the nama panyati. So the panyati or these concepts are always fashioned by worldly convention. Since they are fashioned by worldly convention, and since they are concepts, they are not ultimate realities. So we cannot say that they belong to present or past or future. They are out of time. So the last verses explain how we hear and understand. And that is very simple. But there are more complicated thought processes, because what I have told you up till now is for one syllable word. When there are two syllables, let's say woman, then you first hear the sound wu, and then the first sound wu, the man present, man wu, man first. So instead of two, you have four, right? One, two for wu and two for man. And then you combine these two, and now woman as a collection. That is another thought process. And only after that you come to understand the meaning of the word. So when there is one more syllable, you have to add two more thought processes. Then what about a word with five syllables? Can you say a five syllable word?
Encyclopedia.
Okay, so when you hear the word encyclopedia and two thought processes, psi thought processes, clone thought processes, and so on. So now you know how complicated the experience is if you know Abhidhamma. So we hear this word every day, and we think that we understand the meaning of the word right away. But we have to go through all these thought processes before we really understand the meaning of the word. So Abhidhamma teaches us that what seemed to be very simple experiences are actually the very complicated ones. And to understand these, we have to study Abhidhamma. But Buddha just discovered all these all by himself and through his omniscience. So Buddha's omniscience is very, very great. we cannot even think of how great it is, because as Venerable Nagasena said, Buddha did a very difficult job in identifying different mental states that arise together and that takes the object together. So it is more difficult than differentiating different waters from the river in the ocean water. So it is the master intellect of Buddha that that discovered all these intricacies, and we are just having a glimpse of that super knowledge. So this the verse at the end explains how we understand when we hear something. And following this, we can also explain how we understand something when we see something. In that case, there is seeing thought process and then taking the past object, and then what comes? Attapanyati, and then Nama Banyati. So the sequence is a little different. When you hear, the sequence is present sound, past sound, Nama Banyati, and name concept, and thing concept. But when you see present visible object, past visible object, thing concept, and then name concept. I see you first, and then the what man comes to me. And that also, only if I know beforehand that the what man represents this kind of object. If I don't know the name, then that name concept thought process will not arise. Sometimes we see something and we don't know the name of it, right? So in that case, the thought process with name concept does not arise. So the same with smelling and so on. So it is very complicated experience, and that we know a little with the help of a knowledge of Abhidhamma. Okay, now this is the end of the 8th chapter, the chapter on conditions.